Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his body for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Good morning. Is this thing on? Yes. Ooh, yeah. All right. It's my privilege to be here with you this morning. Not under the greatest of circumstances, but it is a joy to be together as the body of Christ. Before we take a look at this passage, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for giving yourself to us, for drawing us into your family, the body of Christ represented here. Lord, help us to listen to your word, to be transformed by it as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, no matter what it is you're after, in our culture, there always seems to be so many choices. You want to join a soccer club in Lismore? You've got Ganelabar at the top of the list. Thistles, Rovers, Workers, Souths, Nimbin. Some might even go as far as Alstonville. If you want groceries, there's at least three Woolies, two Coles, two Aldi, Spar, IGA, and various other independents. Petrol stations, there's about 16 petrol stations in Lismore. So many choices. What about if you're looking for a church? There are 18 that I know of. 19 if you count the Workers' Club, which came up on Google when I did a search. Serious. So we won't count them. 18. And 7 of them are in Ganelabar. In December 1520, Martin Luther received a papal bull. That's an edict issued by the head of the Catholic Church, the Pope. And it detailed a request for Luther to recant his 95 statements or be excommunicated from the Church. He refused, and he publicly burned the document, which was then later enforced in January 1521. So effectively, it put Luther out of the church. Gone. In our age, full of so many choices, we might think, oh, well, just find another church. And I'm not saying that that should be the aim of church discipline. But there was no suggestion of finding another church. because there just simply wasn't one. Not at least in the country. He could have just headed to Schutzberg or Kemberg or Bernberg or any other burg to find another church. There were other church congregations in other towns, but they were all Roman Catholic. So Luther was out on his own. He was out of fellowship, out of the Catholic Church, which according to the teaching of the Catholic Church meant that he was outside of salvation. But it led Luther to ask the question, what is the church? Is it where the Pope rules or where Jesus rules? You see, the institution of the Roman Catholic Church had deferred from the headship of Jesus to the headship of a man, a Pope, a mere man at the head and his position handed down to other men who decide what the rules are, decide what the rules are for those who want to remain a part of the church, and therefore, to some degree, he decides who is saved and who is not. But to put someone out of the Catholic Church was, in their mind, to remove the offer of salvation. They determined that you are saved by being a part of the church. But the Reformers' view, and our view, based on the authority of Scripture, is that you are a part of the church by being saved. Not the institution where the Pope rules, but the true church of Jesus Christ, where only he rules. Luther and the Reformers recognized the authority of Jesus as the only head of the true church, his church. Throughout the New Testament, the word church is used in a couple of different ways. There's the whole church, everyone in history who has ever put their trust in Jesus. The universal church. You might have heard this term in the Nicene Creed. And there's local churches, specific groups of believers in a certain place at a certain time. The Greek word translated as church is ecclesia, which means congregation, assembly, or gathering. In a secular sense, the word was used to describe the assembly of citizens of a city. In Christ, we are citizens of heaven. Ephesians 2:6 says that God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Notice that this is a present reality, not just a future hope, but we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms in him. And if we're in Christ, then we belong to the church universally. The body made up of people across the world throughout history who have been formed by the gospel, gathered by God, and adopted into his family as his children. Everyone, everywhere, from every time and place who have been called or gathered by God in Jesus. This is primarily what the church is, and how the church is often referred to in the Bible, a singular church. In our passage from today, Ephesians 4, verses 4 and 6, 4 to 6, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Our unity in Christ is a spiritual, present, and eternal reality. If you listened carefully to the Bible reading from Ephesians 4, you might have noticed that the word church doesn't appear at all. You might be wondering, why have we chosen a passage to talk about church that doesn't say anything about the church? But Paul used the word ecclesia, or church, earlier in his letter to the Ephesians. This passage in chapter 4 refers to the church as a body. This language is more than just a general or secular gathering of people. It's an image of an intimate group of interdependent parts which make up the body, with a common purpose under the authority of the head, that is, Christ. So this passage is about the church. The church is the body of Christ. So if the true church is a universal gathering, a spiritual and eternal reality, then what about local churches? Well, many uses of the word church or ecclesia in the Bible do refer to specific groups of believers in specific places. In Acts, there are churches in Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. In Romans and 1 Corinthians, there are churches who gather in people's homes. In Galatians, we read about churches in Galatia and churches of Judea. In Revelation, Jesus writes 7 letters to 7 churches. So there are churches which are specific groups of believers who are in Christ and therefore part of the universal church, but also belong to each other in local churches. So it's okay for us to identify as a local church, Southern Cross Presbyterian Church here in Lismore, Anganallibar. When we gather together as a local church, we physically express the spiritual reality that we're gathered under the headship of Jesus, preaching and proclaiming and responding to his word. And as we leave this physical gathering this morning and go back to our homes, we're still a part of the church. We still belong to one another. We're still united as the body of Christ, universally and locally, united under as his body under his authority. So if we say united, then why are we so different from each other? In verses 2 and 3, Paul acknowledges the differences in the believers. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. See, we need this reminder because we can so easily become distracted by our worldly differences, and we often focus on them rather than on our unity in the gospel. But this kind of diversity highlights the power of the gospel, which unites us. Why would such a diverse group of people want to hang out with each other? Because in the gospel, we belong to each other. We're one, gathered into one body. With all our differences, through the gospel, we're one, but these differences are only temporary. They'll be gone like that. But through the gospel, Jesus unites us with him and with each other for eternity. God, the Father, Son, and Spirit have shared their perfect unity with us. It's pretty amazing. But there's also a different kind of diversity here. United in the body of Christ, with Jesus as the head, we all have different gifts and different roles. Look at verse 7. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This isn't talking about saving grace, but rather the gifts given to us by God's grace. And it's Christ, the head of the body, who is the giver of these gifts. In this passage, Paul doesn't go into great detail about many different gifts, but specifically mentions the role of leadership in the body. Verse 11, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Just to be clear that we use the term leadership properly. This doesn't mean headship over the church, the way that Jesus is the head of the church. Only Jesus is the head of the church, and he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers to the church as members of the body for a specific purpose for the body. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's the primary purpose of leaders in the church. And Christ himself appointed those in leadership positions in the church for the health of the body, so that we'll know him more and more, not just individually, but together, united under the authority of Jesus as he's revealed himself to us in his word. The role of leaders, this ministry of the word and prayer for the church, is for continual growth toward maturity. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We live and learn and mature in this physical gathering, which represents the spiritual reality of our citizenship in heaven, with our eyes fixed on the future fulfillment of the sure hope that we have as members of his body. And as we mature together, we realize his amazing love for us more and more. And we become so grounded in it and captivated by it that we're no longer tossed around back and forth by every wind of teaching, because we're so firmly grounded in the gospel. Verses 15 and 16 describe how we mature. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Notice that we don't wait until we're mature to speak the truth in love, but as we mature, we will speak the truth in love, and as a result, we'll grow. We'll continue to speak the truth, and we'll grow more. We're held together, and we grow together. How do we grow? As each part does its work. And again, we don't wait until we reach maturity before each part does its work, but rather, as each of us do our work, so we mature. Growing in maturity can be confusing, and you make lots of mistakes, and you develop and you learn. You might remember being a teenager. You might have teenagers around. I'm certainly reminded regularly of what it was like to be a teenager. It's no wonder that Paul said in verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You know, when you receive a family photo from a friend or relative, you might get one at Christmas time, and the kids are lined up and they're either smiling or frowning or with their hair covering their eyes, depending on the stage and the mood. What's the first thing that you notice about the family or the kids in particular? Come on. They're growing. Wow, how they've grown. It's only been 8 months or something since I've been in here, and just like looking at the kids this morning, it's the first thing that you notice. And it's great. It's also noticeable when you look in the crosswires, the church family directory, especially if your photo, the family photo, hasn't been updated for a year or two, and then suddenly it gets updated and the kids go from here to here, they'd like double in size. As much as we love our kids when they're small, and maybe sometimes we wish that they could stay that way or go back to being that way, it's not really what we want for them, is it? We want them to grow, to learn and mature, to be all that God intended them to be. And that's God's desire for his church, that we will mature to reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of Jesus, to see more and more the fullness of Christ, to speak the truth in love, each of us doing our part in the body as we celebrate our identity in Him, His body, His church. Let's not begrudge the tasks that we've been given as we serve the body here in the local church, because it's here that we express the joy of being part of His eternal church. As you serve your church family here, you build up the body and you help everyone in the church to mature as each part does its work. We're all built up in love. And there are plenty of opportunities, not just the things that are on the roster, but lots of other things. In whatever capacity, whatever the needs are, we're able to lead GCs and DNAs, provide and serve morning tea or supper, set up, pack up, clean up, lock up, welcoming, working the sound desk and laptop, playing music and singing, mowing, cleaning, photocopying, leading and helping in kids' church, preaching, kids' talks, Bible reading, praying, and any other jobs that make our gatherings run smoothly so that we're all free to hear and respond to God's word. And as we respond to God's word together as a body, with Jesus as the head, we'll be praying for one another, sharing our lives, our homes, our time, and our money with anyone as they have need. We'll meet together in small groups whenever we can, and we'll look forward to and prioritise regular time gathered together around the Word of God, physically expressing the spiritual reality that we're gathered under the authority of Jesus, preaching, proclaiming, and responding to His Word. So what's so good about the church? What's so good about our church, Southern Cross? If it's anything other than Jesus, then maybe we're missing the point. Sure, we have lots of good things that we enjoy, but they're good because they're all about Jesus. We must ensure that we don't get distracted away from the authority of Jesus and the word through which He's revealed Himself to us. Everything we do as a church is about Him. And we don't want to put anything in the way that hinders people from seeing Jesus, either inside or outside our church family. Let's not be distracted by tradition or great music or special uniforms or creating the most comfortable, relaxing environment possible. If it distracts us from the gospel, because no one will be saved by hearing the best music in town or looking sharp or feeling great. People are saved by Jesus, and Jesus is made known by sharing the gospel. Now, some of those things that I mentioned are good things, but they must shine a light on the gospel and not us or anyone else. Though I'm not sure that special uniforms are really good for anything. That's why we call our community groups gospel communities, because we want to make every effort to keep the unity in the Spirit. Everything we do as a church, the body of Christ, has to be all about Christ. If other local churches around Lismore are gathered under the authority of Scripture, with Christ as the head of the body, then great. There's 40-odd thousand people in Lismore who we would love to know Jesus. And we do pray for all of the churches in Lismore. And I'm certainly not suggesting that we're the only church in Lismore who are faithful to God's word. And we're certainly not perfect either. We know that. But through Christ, in Him, we are maturing. What's so good about the church? Jesus. Jesus is so good. He gives us gifts for works of service, and He makes us different. He makes a difference in the way that we respond to any opportunities for works of service. Knowing that it is Jesus Himself that enables us to serve provides the opportunities to serve. It gives us joy in knowing that Jesus is maturing us as his body when we serve. It's Jesus who binds us together. In him we are formed, matured, and made beautiful by the gospel. Only the blood of Christ, only by the blood of Christ have we been saved, adopted into God's family. Not just tagging along, mind you. We haven't just been kind of invited along into the family. Look, you're kind of like some distant cousin, sit in the corner. We're heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. We don't need to strive to achieve anything for ourselves. In Christ, God's given us everything. I'll finish with Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for gathering us, for calling us. We thank you for our faith, that you have brought us together into your family. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us a love that we share with one another and with those in our community. Lord, help us to be obedient to your word, to serve joyfully as we continue to build one another up, speaking the truth in love for our good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.